Listen local. Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, the Villa Roma sold. The Italian-themed resort and conference center in Sullivan County, New York is under new ownership. What does it mean for the community and the hundreds of employees? Alex Kilar from the Sullivan County Democrat has details. Government official by day, roller derby skater by night. We chat with Amberlee Jane Campbell, who is the Ulster County Assistant Deputy County Executive and also an active member of the Mid-Hudson Misfits roller derby team. Plus, a lot of events coming up this weekend, including the Dorflinger Fall Music Festival, the festival to help heal and cope from the loss of loved ones via music and friendship, the fourth annual Catskills Conductor Clambake in Livingston Manor, and culture reporter Valerie Manzi with two more. Lots to get to. First, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. House Speaker Mike Johnson has delayed a vote on a temporary spending plan that would keep the federal government running after the end of September. Conservatives say it's too expensive. Democrats dislike some features, such as requiring that new voters provide proof of citizenship. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Speaker Johnson ought not bother with merely delaying his vote. He should scrap it. Scrap his plan and start over.
Speaker Johnson says he's trying to build consensus among Republicans to back the bill. Two astronauts with a private firm SpaceX have wrapped up their first ever commercial spacewalk. Commander and billionaire Jared Isaacson and SpaceX engineer Sarah Gills briefly exited their capsule in space today. The National Hurricane Center says what was Hurricane Francine has now weakened to a tropical depression. It's close to Jackson, Mississippi. Well over 400,000 customers have lost power in Mississippi and Louisiana. The storm system is still moving north. Thousands of drinking water systems across the country are providing water with levels of forever chemicals that are too high. That's according to the federal government. NPR's Ping Huang reports on one possible solution.
PFAS are a class of chemicals that don't really break down in the environment. Some are ending up in the drinking water at levels that the Environmental Protection Agency considers harmful to human health. Mark Toy, general manager at the Yorba Linda Water District in California, says that several years ago, they realized they had a PFAS problem.
We had to take all our wells offline because it was the raw water that we were pulling from our wells was laden with PFAS.
The water district is now home to the largest resin PFAS water treatment plant in the U.S. Every gallon of water they pump from the ground gets filtered through giant tanks filled with polymer beads that pull PFAS out of the water. Toy says other water utilities are coming to them for tours and help with their own PFAS problems. Ping Huang, NPR News.
Stocks opened mixed this morning as the European Central Bank cut interest rates. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average slipped about 170 points in early trading.
This was the ECB's second quarter-point rate cut in 4 months as an effort to curb inflation winds down. Here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve is expected to follow with its first interest rate cut next week. Central banks around the world raise borrowing costs in a push to tamp down demand and bring prices under control. With inflation easing, officials say the time has come to let up on the brakes. Today, the Labor Department said wholesale prices in August were up 1.7% from a year ago. That's a smaller annual increase than the month before. Stock in Moderna fell after the vaccine maker lowered its sales forecast for the year. Moderna sales have dropped sharply since the peak of the pandemic. The company also says it's scaling back its R&D budget. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. The U.S. and Britain's top diplomats have announced more than $1 billion in combined new aid for Ukraine. NPR's Joanna Kakissis reports from Kyiv that Ukraine is trying to consolidate U.S. support ahead of November's presidential election.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the White House is fully committed to Ukraine's victory in a war launched by Russia more than 30 months ago.
The bottom line is this. We want Ukraine to win. And we're fully committed to keep marshaling the support that it needs for its brave defenders and citizens to do just that.
Blinken traveled to Kyiv with UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy, who said the UK would allocate nearly $800 million in financial assistance and military equipment. Blinken said the U.S. is donating more than $700 million in humanitarian aid and energy assistance. Joanna Kakissis, NPR News, Kyiv.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says that a cargo ship carrying wheat has been struck in the Black Sea today. Writing online, he claims it was by a Russian missile. He says there were no casualties. Ukrainian officials say the Russian missile strike is an attack on freedom of navigation and on global food security. Zelensky says the cargo of wheat was supposed to go to Egypt. Former Peruvian President Alberto Fujimori has died of cancer at the age of 86, according to his daughter. He was in power for a decade, but later convicted of corruption and complicity in murder. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the law firm Cooley LLP. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Asia, Cooley advises entrepreneurs, investors, financial institutions, and established companies around the world, where innovation meets the law.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The Villa Roma Resort and Conference Center in Calicoon, New York, has been sold. After 3 years of negotiation, Fay Hospitality Catskills LLC purchased the property for $17.15 million, saying they have big plans for improvements. The Italian-themed resort, spanning 434 acres, has been under the ownership of Marty Passante since 1970. Tragically, Passante passed away 3 days after the sale. Alex Kilar, assistant editor for the Sullivan County Democrat, spoke to us about the impact of the sale on the community as one of the largest employers in the area and on the hundreds of employees.
I think it's a pretty big impact. You know, as you said, it's the one of the biggest taxpayers in the town of Delaware. They're looking to do a lot of upgrades to Villa Roma, so I think it's going to be huge. You know, it's going to kind of keep the Villa Roma as it is, basically, but also give it some upgrades as well, not just keep it exactly the same, but with some good upgrades.
Who is the company that bought the Villa Roma Resort and Conference Center in Calicoon, and what's their history? What are they known for?
So, yeah, it's Fay Hospitality Catskills. They were formed in 2021, based out of Delaware. Not the town, actually, the state of Delaware.
Yeah.
And affiliate of the UK-based Fay Investment Asset Management. Founded by Sandeep Wadhwa. He heads the organization. We have teams located, New York and London, according to their website. They do a lot of stuff with investing, asset management, things like finances. They obviously, it's something they wanted to invest in. They know how good of a business Villa Roma is, so I think it's a good thing for both sides.
And you mentioned some of the upgrades. What are some of the things that they're saying they will do after the purchase, and how much are they planning to invest?
They are investing approximately $24.9 million, that's according to the IDA, which is the Sullivan County Industrial Development Agency. And a lot of the upgrades, starting off, is actually going to be with the golf course irrigation system. That's what they're going to be starting on right away. To the golf course irrigation system, that's going to be a $677,000 upgrade. And then other improvements are to, the 139 hotel rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, the indoor pool, the clubhouse, the clubhouse catering center, and also there's a spa and ski chalet that they're going to be upgrading.
What have they said about the employees? Are those folks keeping their jobs?
Yes, they actually said they are going to be retaining all of their full-time employees, which is about 250, and also seasonal employees, which is around 70 of those, and then also creating jobs. They're going to be creating some, temporary positions as far as the construction of the project goes. About 30 of those temporary jobs are going to be created with an average salary of $65,000 for the period of the construction.
Last summer, we heard that Fay Hospitality submitted an application to the IDA seeking financial assistance for this purchase and renovation. Did they end up getting that financial assistance, or what happened there?
So they weren't able to get it last year, but this year they went and did it. They had to resubmit the application, and this year they were able to get assistance. They're going to get a you know, a mortgage recording tax exemption as high as $110,000, a sales and use tax exemption of $390,000, and then also a limited real estate tax abatement at a predetermined value. They have not set that yet as of today.
What have you been hearing from the local community about the sale?
A lot of people are kind of maybe a little skeptical about it because they're just not sure what it's going to look like. You know, obviously, Marty Passante, who unfortunately passed away just this past Monday evening, he had him and the general manager, Paul Carlucci, they had been there for over 50 years. Marty was there 54, Paul was there 52, so, you know, it's just kind of the known, everybody knew who they were such big parts of the community. And then this other, you know, Fay Hospitality comes in. Nobody, not many people know too much about them. So I think it's just going to be uncertain to begin with. I think there's still people excited that they're going to basically keep it the same, just upgrade things as they go along.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, of course, Marty Passante, who owned that resort for over 50 years, had tried to sell it over the course of those 50 years a couple of times. Finally had that transaction realized on Friday and then unfortunately passed away on Monday, just after the completion of the sale. Of course, condolences to his family and friends. Do we know what happened there with Marty and how he passed?
I didn't hear any specifics. I just know he was sick. I'm not sure about what his health was, but I know he had some kind of illness.
So the sale's gone through and under new ownership. Do we know when we expect them to start these renovations? Is it an immediate thing, or have they indicated when they'll start?
I don't believe they indicate exactly when, but I do know that some of the improvements are set to commence within 6 to 12 months. But the one that they should be starting pretty immediate is the golf course irrigation system. If I'm not mistaken, they've started that already shortly after the sale went through. I think they were beginning on that.
Alex Kelar from the Sullivan County Democrat, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
And the new owners of the Villa Roma Resort paid respects to Marty Passante on the resort's Facebook page, saying, quote, "Villa Roma was Marty's vision and dream, which he built from the ground up and encapsulated his proud Italian heritage. We are honored to have worked with Marty through the Villa Roma transaction and pass on our thoughts and prayers to Mrs. Marion Passante and the rest of the Passante family, Paul Carlucci, as well as all of those who gotten to know Marty over the years at Villa Roma. We look forward to honoring Marty's legacy in all that we do here at Villa Roma." We'll be right back.
Hey, this is DJ Chucks of Old School Sessions. Please join me and Selector Starkey at our new time, 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. Saturday night.
Old school, baby. Old school, baby. Old school, baby.
That's Old School Sessions right here on WJFF, 8 to midnight, Saturday night, only on Radio Catskill.
Hi, it's Rosie Starr, host of Farm and Country. Join us Saturdays at 10 a.m. on Radio Catskill for stories about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. Feed your ears some good radio produce. Listen local.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The Dorflinger Fall Music Festival is the annual music festival to help heal and cope from the loss of loved ones via music and friendship. Jamie Rutherford is the founder of the Dorflinger Fall Music Festival, and the 8th annual event is happening this Saturday. He joins us now to tell us more. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here. Let's remind folks why the festival was started. It's the 8th annual. I mentioned that it's to help heal and cope from the loss of loved ones via music and friendship. Why did this festival start?
So you hit the nail on the head of a way for friends to heal together through music. And you did say music and friendship, but we always believe that friendship comes first. It started almost 10 years ago. One of my best friends, actually, he is here at the event venue with me right now. his wife passed away much too young, in our opinions. And we were on a snowmobile trip, and we decided, you know, what can we do? And he's also the drummer of our local legendary band, Steppin' Eddie. And our thought was is to use that band and use their goodness to raise money. So that was the original start of it. An idea was born. And through that, we had a homemade stage our first year because we couldn't quite get the door flinger, but our first year here was in 2018, and you know, throughout the years, we've lost many, many of our loved ones, but we find it a way to remember them, bring out the best that they gave to us, and make us better people and better community members. So that's what we try to do each and every day.
And how do folks do that through the music? You mentioned, of course, that personal connection that your friend had with his wife. Do other folks, you know, make an honor or a memory of them from the stage before they perform or during their performance?
So that's a great question. So as this has grown, we never could have imagined the impact we have on people trying to remember their lost loved ones. So what we've done is we asked people to send their pictures in of their lost loved ones, which then we show on TVs around the amphitheater, and finding a way for them to create a moment to remember their loved ones and while still being surrounded by their friends. And that's the way we've done it throughout the years. And it seems to work. We're just, again, the opportunity and the responsibility to our community. We never thought we would be doing it in this manner, but we take that very seriously, and we try to honor everybody's lost loved ones.
Music can be so powerful to help folks heal, and also, you know, be positive for this hopeful message. What is that? What you hear from folks who attend this event?
Absolutely, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of their life. It's a celebration of our lives here within this community. You come in, you'll see the signs remembering people, but there is a vibe from within of love, laughter. We would rather tell a story of your lost loved one and laugh, cry, myself included. You know, I lost my son in 2018, and I would rather hear a story about my son that I didn't hear before, and I do, and cry, but then remembering him. I don't want to forget him. And I think that's our way to, we don't want to forget these people that gave so much to our community, who are, you know, great people, and that's the way we've done it. And that's you come in and you can feel the love. I'm not sure how it works, but that is how it works.
Of course, yesterday the nation observed September 11th, remembering, of course, the tragedy, a somber reminder of the resilience, but also unity that everyone around the world came together to pause and honor those memories. Is there a special meaning of this event as well, occurring during this time?
If you're asking, do we have it because of 9/11? No. We have it the second Saturday in September, you know, but we certainly, unity. You said the word unity. That's what we try to bring together, those, you know, first responders that, in New York City, you know, giving up everything to go in and try to save people that they knew they had no chance of saving. And, but they still did it. They still did it. That response to human beings, the ability to selflessly give yourself to something that, you know, you're not coming back out. We're not necessarily connected with the 9/11. We're the second Saturday in September every year. But we certainly connect ourselves, you know, that we remember together. We try to be better together. And you talked about unity. It's something that we so desperately need, in this world of, divisiveness that, you know, whichever, all those things go away on this Fall Music Festival day. Left, right, whichever side of the aisle you're sitting on, we come together. There's none of that here. And, you know, you dance, you love, you laugh. And what are worlds supposed to be?
Let's talk about some of the other groups you mentioned. Step and Eddie's going to be there. Who else do you have performing on Saturday?
So we have six other acts: Arnie's Milk Truck, Demons and Divas, E-Cat and Friends, Graham Baxter, Owen Co., Two Chicks, One Guitar. And a big thing for us, we've, through the Fall Music Festival, we've started a group with full support of NEPA Young Musicians, which provides them an opportunity to play throughout the area, throughout the season, safe places that people get to see our young kids growing their talent and doing good things, because our kids are good, you know, and they are our future. So our young musicians are on our main stage from 11 to 1. If you come before noon, our concession man, Dan Figueroa, offers a $10 food voucher, which we're trying to get people listening to these young musicians. I know I'll have 1,000 people here at 5 o'clock. I want 500 people here at noon to appreciate our young musicians, because they mean so much to us.
And there's also the Wayne County YMCA 5K Run to the Music starting at 8:30.
Yeah.
The event, the festival is from 11 to 9, food vendors, merch table, and more there. How do the proceeds go back into the community?
That's a great question. So we have, you know, through the community and through their generosity, you know, through 8 years, we've raised over $300,000 and given it back to the community. All of our groups that we give back to, our local groups, you know, pretty, I don't want to say mom and pop, that's not the right word, but they're locally grown. They're local. They do things. So you're allowing them, you're providing them a way to do more good things. I call it our circle of goodness. We keep providing the ability for them to go out and do their good, whether it's a cancer group, a young musicians group, you know, one that supports firefighters, which was my son's group. There's just so many things that we do that allows them. This is our big day. You know, it takes 364 days a year to plan it, but all the proceeds that we get back. We don't have any, you know, administrative costs. We do this because we love to do it. We love our community, and we think it's the right thing.
Where can folks get more information about Saturday's Fall Music Festival event?
The best way is our Facebook page at Fall Music Festival at Dorflinger. It has, you know, where to get tickets. You could go online to do that, all our links. And, you know, we really try to, you know, promote unity within our community. And that's the best place to go.
Jamie Rutherford, founder of the Dorflinger Fall Music Festival. The 8th annual festival is this Saturday. It's a festival to help heal and cope from the loss of loved ones via music and friendship. Jamie, thanks for spending some time with us this morning, and thanks for this this great festival and the idea behind it.
Thank you.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, government official by day, roller derby queen by night. We'll find out more after a break. This is Radio Chatskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Jeff Works Office Solutions, located right on Main Street in Jeffersonville, New York. A newly renovated pet-friendly office space that rents by the day, week, or month, with hot desks, sound-insulated rooms, Wi-Fi, modern amenities, and 24-hour secure access. Online at jeffworksjayville.com. And from The Cooperage Project, thecooperageproject.org. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. Each hour of On Point is a journey to help make complicated issues understandable. Every issue brings more questions, like how did we get here? Why is this happening? And what does it mean? And how do we fix it? So let's figure this out and make sense of the world together. Join me weekday mornings at 11 here on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Chatskill. By day, Amberly Jane Campbell is the Ulster County Assistant Deputy County Executive, overseeing communications and media strategy for the county executive. By night, Look out. She's an active member of the Mid-Hudson Misfits roller derby team, jamming and blocking in that full contact sport. She spoke to Jason Dole all about it.
Well, roller derby is a full contact sport. It is played on a roller rink, and it's quad skates. So we have two teams on the rink at one time, five players from each team. We're ready to go. It's hard hitting. The whistle blows. We go around the track, and we're playing offense and defense at the same time. There's one member from each team that has a star on their helmet, and they are the jammers, and they do the scoring. And so when they make it through the pack around the first time, the second time they make it through the pack, they get 1 point from every pair of opposing hips that they pass. And so that's how you score points in roller derby. But it's, as I said, it's like it's offense and defense at the same time. It's like a controlled mosh pit on skates.
So there's no ball or baton or puck that you got to score with, which would probably be dangerous to have extra objects floating around where you're rolling around out there. The person is the scoring implement.
Absolutely, yes. You can throw your teammate into another person. We have all kinds of safety equipment on, helmets, mouth guards, all kinds of padding. And so, it's rough and tumble. We have suicide seating. So if you can sit on the track and we might fly into you. You just never know.
Oh man, is there less suicide seating?
You have to be 18 and older to be in suicide
right.
seating.
But I mean, there's safer seating for those who maybe aren't looking for that adrenaline, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And we do recommend there's like limited seating at the rink at skate time. So if you do want to bring a folding chair for maximum comfort, but yes, there's definitely safe seating where we will not hit you.
Okay. But that option exists for those over 18 if they're so interested. So how did you get involved in roller derby? What drew you to this sport?
Oh boy. Well, I've been playing roller derby for 14 years. I just realized today that the last decade with the Misfits, and I started 14 years ago because I was taking care of my mom and she was terminally ill and I needed an outlet, and I went to a rink. I was in Florida at the time, and the owner of the rink said, "Hey, you should join roller derby." And I did, and I never looked back, and I'm still friends with a lot of those skaters from back then, and they were an amazing support group for everything I was going through, and so now I preach the derby gospel.
You do charity benefits in roller derby. This upcoming charity bout is to benefit the Circle of Friends for the Dying. What does it mean to you and the team to support this cause? But basically, this Circle of Friends for the Dying, they want a society that mindfully accepts death as part of everyday life by extending compassionate end-of-life care to those in need. What does it mean to the team to be supporting this cause?
Right. So we do have some of the team members who are in the nursing profession, and so they have actively worked with Circle of Friends for the Dying, and so they've seen the kind of amazing support that they've offered to community members. And we are a not-for-profit, so every single bout that we do is for charity. Every scrimmage, everything is for charity. We've done charities. We've raised money for Habitat for Humanity, various food pantries, the Farm Sanctuary. Really, we're moving through them. but the team was started in 2012. Yes, as an outlet for the sport, and yes, to empower people, but also because we really wanted to give back to the community.
This is roller derby. You say you're slamming into people. The people, you are the scorers. You can throw your teammates. This is very intense. It's physically demanding. How does your team prepare for this mentally? How do you prepare for this physically?
Wow, that's a good question. So, we practice one or two times a week. And then we do even off skates, workouts and whatnot as well. I skate the rail trail and, we're always kind of, I am hip checking my daughter in the kitchen sometimes, to practice very lightly, very lightly. It is a physical sport, and you definitely do have to get over the mental block in the beginning of like, these are my friends, and but they want me to hit them, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's really, it's a very empowering thing. And we have skaters of all genders and all ages. And actually some of our, one of our best skaters is in her 50s, you know? So it's really, and we have an 18-year-old skater, you know, and everybody in between. So it's really a sport that is for everybody.
What advice would you give to anyone who might be interested in joining a roller derby team or becoming part of this community? If they're curious, what would you say?
Oh, I would love, yeah. I mean, we do a lot of community events. So we're at like Rosendale Street Fest. We're in, you know, Ellenville doing Blueberry Fest. And, you know, we're kind of like mixing around and meeting people. And a lot of times people are like, oh, I could never do that. It sounds like it would be too much for me. But, you know, first of all, we don't hit people straight out. You know, you have to pass your skills test and reach a certain place before, you know, we allow contact.
Yeah, you gotta get to know people before you hit them too, yeah.
Right, so that's very true. But I mean, we definitely have skaters of all levels that are very fresh, and, you know, we work with them. We're a very supportive team. So even if you're a little bit curious, like, come on out to practice. We practice at Skate Time on Tuesday nights and Sunday mornings. And you're definitely, we always say you're welcome to just drop in and see what it's like. You know, we could gear you up if you want to get geared up and go on, or you could just like hang out and kind of see if it's something for you and meet the team and we'll answer your questions.
All right. And you're also online at midhudsonmisfits.com.
Oh, yes. I would definitely say the best place to catch up with us is like social media. So Facebook and Instagram, those are updated pretty regularly.
All right. Well, Amberly Campbell, I wish you luck on the last bout of the season here coming up on Saturday. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jason. And just my derby name is Jane Bondage. So if you see me out there, 007's my number. Please, you know, let me know that you heard me on the station and say hello. And I'd love it.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to Jason Dole for that conversation with Amberly Jane Campbell. We'll take a break, and when we come back, the 4th Annual Catskill Conductors Clambake. It's back this Saturday. We'll have more after a break. This is Radio Chatskill.
Last year, over 100,000 people died from drug overdoses driven by fentanyl, and the fastest growing group is under 19. Fentanyl is the number one cause of overdose in Sullivan County. Whether you're a parent or an educator, you can have the right conversation now to potentially save a kid's life. Protect kids from the dangers of fentanyl. More information and resources at naturalhigh.org. Paid for by Catholic Charities of Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster.
Jennifer Vale studies friction and how to deliver just the right amount of it, like when you get a flu shot.
If friction was working against you so much that needle is having to be pushed multiple times and harder because the stopper is getting stuck, you would definitely know.
The hidden role of friction in our lives. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Friday afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Catskill dairy farmers produce millions of gallons of milk per year at the turn of the 20th century. The fastest way to get this perishable item to market in New York City was by the O&W Railroad. The O&W Railroad hosted an annual conductor's clam bake in the late 1800s, which was a gathering of the community to express gratitude and appreciation. Well, that tradition's been revived, and this Saturday it's the 4th annual Catskill Conductor's Clam Bake in Livingston Manor, featuring food and more, plus a Grateful Dead tribute. We're going to find out more from Jennifer Grossman from the Smoke Joint, the brains behind the operation. Hi, how are you?
I am well, Tim. How are you doing?
Good. Did I get that right about how this came about back at the turn of the century?
Absolutely. The Conductor's Clam Bake was a sign of gratitude to the communities that the railroads went through to travel travel and bring this wonderful resource, dairy, to New York City, realizing that there was an intrusion, that having rail lines and having the sound and the smells of heavy rail traffic could be an intrusion, but this was an appreciation. And the reason why the smoke joint has revived this is because there's really been a wonderful turn of growth, economic, downtown, rural engagement and an excitement, a real vibrancy that we see all throughout our downtown rural communities. And it's about appreciating the communities, the people that live in our community, Livingston Manor, and the businesses that contribute to this new vibrancy and how we can come together and really appreciate this sense of place that we've created together.
And well, also just tying back to that time when it was a similar feeling, that sense of place and that sense of gratitude and appreciation with this event for these folks who were doing this really hard work.
Absolutely. And it truly takes a village. You know, there is no way to create economic development and growth. There's no way to have conservation and community sort of energy unless we all participate. And that's why it's really exciting that we're working with some fabulous local restaurants and other vendors. So Upward Brewery is going to be highlighting a selection of their fabulous award-winning beers. Threshold Restaurant is a new restaurant coming into town, and they'll be highlighting before they even open some of their delicious Korean delights.
Ooh, wait, yes. Hold on. Is this breaking news? Korean restaurant coming to Livingston Manor?
It is, yes. Oh. Threshold. And you'll see Cam Shaw there and her husband, Peter, and this is going to be a fabulous sharing of their new delights. We have Evelyn's Ice Cream that's going to be there, and she's been in town and is going to be sharing sundaes and ice cream sandwiches and other wonderful tasty delights. We've got the Red Rose Motel and Tavern doing fish tacos and trout treats. And again, these are businesses that are launching, are flourishing, have become established because of this community energy of and support. This is going to also be a gathering about conservation. We are going to be benefiting with our 50-50 raffle, which we do every year to a local nonprofit group, the Catskill Center for Conservation. The Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum. And this is a fabulous world-renowned facility that highlights the history and tradition of fly fishing in the Catskills.
And, you know, Allie and the team do such a great job there. There's a lot of things tied to that. So you've got the events happening all day long from noon to 7. You've got some stuff that incorporate kids and the Fly Fishing Center and Museum, a scavenger hunt at 1.
Yes. And there will be a trout lawn game as well. So really focused on kids. The Daddy Fly Shop, which is one of the oldest fly fishing family-owned stores in the country, they're going to do a fly cast contest with some great prizes.
Open to adults and kids.
Oh, so adults and
don't get jealous.
Exactly. Everyone can participate. And sometimes it's just listening to instruction so that you can get that line out as far as possible. So it is for all ages and skill abilities and levels. The folks at Trout Unlimited will be there, and they're going to do a trout talk and walk along the river to talk about the great project that was actually completed at the airport property, which is in and of itself an amazing example of how collaboration results in really good quality conservation. It was the town, it was the state of New York, it was the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Department of Interior, the Friends of the Upper Delaware River, and Trout Unlimited came together to fortify the banks of the airport property to prevent erosion and future flooding in downtown Manor. So it's a success story about a project that really required a community of collaborators.
We should say it's at Casey's Airport there on Old Route 17 in Livingston Manor along the banks of the Little Beaver Kill.
Correct.
And so it's a big field. They used to land small planes there. So big.
Yes,
think about it. It's a great space. You're going to be talking about conservation, but also the musical part of this.
Oh, yes.
A Grateful Dead tribute. How did you land on the Grateful Dead theme this year?
So, you know, the first 3 years we brought in folks that just were local to the area or that were excited to be in the Catskills and wanted to come up and play. And it was a mixture of different genres, rock and blues and even disco. And as we started to see the reactions and the response of the audience, there was really an interest in a more folksy kind of country kind of mode. And then last year when we had closed our sort of programming with a Grateful Dead band, people were just out and dancing and excited. And we thought, wow, you know what? Maybe we should sort of create a focused theme. So what?
Light bulb.
Yes. So we've got this great tribute. We've got Drop of Dew Band, which is a local Catskill Mountain jam band. And we've got Particle Theory, which is well known throughout New York State with their Grateful Dead themes and Bobby Weir and Bob Wasserman kind of great tunes. And then we've got Johnny Markowski and Friends, which he's always been, he's an amazing drummer, amazing singer. It's a really a kind of engaging music of all ages. Whether you're familiar with the type of music or not, it's comfortable, it's relaxing, it's going to be an amazingly beautiful sunny day, almost like summer's returned. So it's
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so beautiful on Saturday.
Exactly.
You've got a great day.
It is, it is. And especially as we've already known, we've got some of those dipping down into the 40s temps at night. So this will be a really wonderful celebration of the season, a seasonal shift. Bring blankets and chairs, plan to spend the day. We've got, again, so much to do just to enjoy the property itself, take walks along the river, you know, understand what it takes to really create conservation projects, but also community engagement. It's about being together and appreciating this wonderful place that we've all contributed to creating.
Okay, the big question is, will there be clams?
Oh, my goodness. There's going to be clam boils, and it comes with amazing local corn and potatoes. There's going to be shrimp boils. We'll have wonderful brisket sandwiches and pork. We've got even hot dogs. We've got amazing cocktails that one in the sun is like two in the shade. And it's just, again, it's a day to really rejoice. Plenty of parking. You know, come for the day. Bring your dogs. Bring your parents and your kids. It's just a really about being
friends.
Together. Exactly. Dance. Put on. Take your shoes off. You know, it's really it's about creating joy. It's about being together. And just realizing how lucky we are to be in this region where we've got such commitment from so many people in the community, and it really makes a difference. Again,
where can folks get more information?
So our website is CatskillsClambake.com. You can call the restaurant at any time, 845-439-1110. And you pay at the door $5 to come in, $5 to park for the day, kids under 10 free. And again, we encourage you to bring chairs and blankets. We will have a big dining tent that's covered with tables and chairs. But again, feel free to just lounge out and spend the day.
Noon to 7 this Saturday, Casey's Airport off Old Route 17 in Livingston Manor. That's Jennifer Grossman from The Smoke Joint presenting the 4th annual Catskills Conductors Clam Bake. Thanks for coming by and have a great clam bake.
Yes, thank you so much,
All
Tim.
Right. We'll take a break, and when we come back, a couple more events that cultural reporter Valerie Manzi is reporting on this weekend. This is Radio Chatsco.
I'm Cassie of Rare Pair Radio. It's a weekly showcase of primarily female artists, but also a wide range of avant-garde musicians, the fruit of post-punk, experimental, and fringe music.
Your eyes are set on stars. I love to see you shine, because you really blow my mind.
Rare Pair Radio, Friday at 8 p.m.
Your heart beats like a drum, hammers when you come to terms with you.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we talk about how the Vietnamese people of New Orleans have been able to preserve their food, and how the Ukrainian people in Ukraine are learning to bring their food back. That's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11, on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. There are a lot of events coming up. You've heard about a couple of them already. Culture reporter Valerie Manzi has two more in this report.
Good morning. Today I'll be speaking about two out of the many events coming up in our community this weekend. The first one we'll learn about is the Creative Communities Art Trail in Equinox, PA. That's on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the final event of the season at the Rock Valley Schoolhouse in Long Eddy. So first, let's hear about Creative Connections Art Trail. Good morning, Janet, Connor, and Victoria. You are all here to talk about a wonderful event coming up this weekend in Equinox. It's the first of two of the six Creative Communities Art Trails projects in Wayne County, PA. And that is on Saturday, am I correct?
Yep, yeah. That's right.
And what time?
That's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
First of all, what is Creative Communities Art Trail Projects?
Yeah, the CCAT program. The Creative Communities Art Trails Project started as an idea last year when a bunch of convening partners all got together, a lot of nonprofits in Wayne County. We had a conversation and decided that we wanted to do something that was countywide, place-based, and really representative of all of the smaller communities that don't really see a lot of arts funding in Wayne County. And so with that, we applied for and were very graciously granted some funding from the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts to start an art trail. Essentially, we identified six locations from north to south along PA Route 191 spanning through Wayne County. And we started at the polar ends. We started at Equinox up north and Newfoundland down in the south. And our plan is to work towards the center, putting in place-based, publicly designed, community committee-led public artwork.
And what types of artwork are we talking about?
Sure. So all of the pieces of artwork are going to be outdoor, publicly accessible, and designed by the people in the communities in which they're built. So that's going to range tremendously from site to site. In Equinox, there is a presence put on sculpture and outdoor figural work. And so we had artist Tom Holmes come to our committee. He quite graciously volunteered a lot of his time and talent and designed these excellent columns, creating an outdoor sculpture park. That's going to be used to showcase local artists' sculpture work within these columns. There's also a table and a chess table that's been designed by Joel Hill Sawmill. And there's a beautiful, beautiful mobile made out of metal and glass, which stands right at the entrance to the road and show where the park lies.
Sounds impressive.
In addition to that, to pay some respects to the land itself, there is a special section dedicated to Lenape artwork. Those are two pieces there designed by Lenape artists, which will remain a permanent fixture, whereas the sculptures within the columns are intended to change over the years, time to time. So the sculptures will the structure will stay there, but the sculptures and the artwork within them will be on a rotating basis populated with local artists' work.
And how many contributing artists did you have in this particular project?
Well, right now we have five artists that are displaying on and in the columns of art. Additional artists have worked with us with designing the large steel sign and some additional artwork placed around the area. So
multiple contributors, yes. Yes. And Janet, what was the Wayne County Arts Alliance involvement?
Well, we were working with the coordination of this project all along, and we were thrilled that Tom had designed such a lovely structure within which to display individual art in addition to large group art. And we sent out a call for art to all the artists in the area, not just Wayne County Arts Alliance members. And we received submissions and accepted various artworks that are currently just this week getting installed into and on the columns for our opening on Saturday.
Victoria, you're president of the Equinox Historical Society. And how did you become involved in this project?
Oh, Connor reached out to me to see if we were interested in being the physical site for such a project, and I was thrilled to jump on it. I think it's a great way to extend our outreach into the community and, you know, further our mission statement, which is preserving an history of the area from prehistoric times on. So I think this is a great way to bring us right into the present day with a more, with a focus on a more modern art concept at this museum site. We've pretty much been focusing on preserving past history, and this will bring us up to now and be able to share with the community. Plus, it was a great way to get local members of the area involved in a project and invested in something for the whole community in right in our area.
Yes, it is a wonderful testament to community and collaboration.
Absolutely.
Yes. Is there anything else you would like to add? Maybe a shout out about the next project, when that'll be?
I can say a few things about it. There's not a definitive date yet for Newfoundland, but I can say that the project in Newfoundland is in the works. The design is of a mural mosaic sign, which will sit in Carlton Drake Memorial Park. That's a beautiful project that's been very community involved. There were several events in which community members were able to make tiles that are now going to be in this mosaic. So the hands of the people living in that community's imprint is on the work itself. More information for that will be coming soon. There is an expectation of an opening in late fall, probably around November or so.
Well, be sure to let us know here at WJFF.
And be sure to join us this Saturday at 1 o'clock for the grand opening in Equinox.
Yes, and can folks find information online?
Yes, we have a page on the Wayne County Arts Alliance website, which is waynecountyartsalliance.org. And there's a page for the Community Art Trail and then a page for each of the Equinox Project and Newfoundland Project. It's in the works. We're adding photos as we get things installed. So the webpage is there, but it will have more to it once we get past Saturday and have everything in place.
Well, thank you all so much for taking the time to share this information with our listening audience, and also for taking the time and the effort and commitment to engage in a collaborative community project like this.
I just wanted to say that community art projects like this one are an excellent way of bringing together all kinds of different people around the table. Conversations wildly vary depending in terms of productivity, but at the end of the day, creating something that represents a community by the people who live in that community is really a rewarding thing, and that's the whole purpose of the Creative Communities Art Trails project, is to bring people together within their communities to design something that they're really, truly proud of and to share it with the rest of the county, the broader community as a whole.
Well, I agree with you there, so thank you.
Thank you.
And now, here's some information on the final event coming up at the Rock Valley Schoolhouse in Long Eddy.
Good morning, Valerie. Thanks for having me.
And some of our listeners will know you from
my Thursday night show, Connect the Dots, here on WJFF at 9 p.m.
And this weekend, you're going to be out live in our community performing.
That's right. I have a couple friends coming up from Brooklyn, and we'll be performing at the Rock Valley Schoolhouse on Sunday at 4 p.m.
And can you tell us about your friends that are coming up and what you'll be performing?
I will. So one of the guys is named Jefferson Hamer, and he and I met probably about 10 years ago, and we sort of have a shared love for the kind of the English folk revival of the late 60s, when it was sort of blending traditional folk styles with psychedelic rock music and other more modern sounds, bands like Fairport Convention and Steel Ice Band and stuff like that. And I first heard about him because he made a record called Child Ballads with a, a singer named Anais Mitchell, who went on to create the Hadestown musical and play.
And which so they, was wonderful, I must
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah. It sort of, you know, it ran off and won all the awards and everything. And so she and Jefferson made this record, a duo record called Child Ballads. And I heard it and saw her perform it right around that time when I was getting into that music. And so I was putting together sort of a tribute show to a singer named Sandy Denny from that era in Brooklyn at the time. And it turns out we had a couple mutual friends with Jefferson. So I kind of reached out to him and he was just on board with the concept. And so that was our first time ever meeting, was performing on that show. And then, as you know, as a freelance musician, and he's sort of a traveling folk musician, we don't see each other for a lot of years. And then when I'm up here, I mean, after I moved up here, I started putting together some shows, and I reached out to him to see if he wanted to come up. So, last summer, and, he came up a few times. And so now he'll be up this time, and he's bringing a bassist, named Zoe Gagano, and she's also Brooklyn based. And it'll be the first time that we've all played together. Jefferson and Zoe will be performing a couple of gigs in the Berkshires leading up to this weekend, and then we'll all be meeting for the first time on Saturday, and then playing on Sunday.
And we'll give a shout out for Saturday night. You'll mm-hmm. be playing at the Western
yeah,
from
at the Western six- from 6 to 9, and that's going to be, you know, a few different sets, and it's sort of, you know, while there's dinner and drinks happening, and then the Rock Valley Schoolhouse is, if you haven't been, is more of sort of a listening experience. You know, there's not food or drinks or anything. It's just a great sounding room.
Yes, I hear that from other folks I've interviewed, that musicians love the sound of that room.
You don't have to do much. You can put a little microphone on the vocals just to push it up a little bit, but that's basically all you need. Yeah.
And this is the final event at the Rock Valley Schoolhouse until next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, to repeat, it's Sunday the 15th at 4 p.m. And you can go to Rock Valley Schoolhouse, Google it, and you'll get directions if you haven't been there before.
That's right. Yeah. It's in Long Eddy, and there will be a reception.
Enjoy your weekend with friends and music.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
That was Valerie Manzi, culture reporter for us, talking to David Christensen, our host of Connect the Dots here on Radio Catskill. It's actually tonight at 9, part of our great local music lineup on Thursdays, kicking off at 7 with Ramble Tamble. Of course, Connect the Dots at 9, and then Virtual Soundscapes with Matt Hurtado at 10. And we told you about a lot of events going on around the area today. There's even more. Check out all of the events at our website, wjffradio.org. Go to the tab at the top that says Community, then click on Community Calendar. You can see what's going on and be part of it. That's all for this edition of Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Radio Catskill, keeping New York voters connected this election season. October 26th is the last day to register to vote for the general election in New York State. Applications must be submitted in person, online, or by mail no later than October 26th. Election Day is November 5th. In-person early voting takes place in the 9 days prior to Election Day. And in New York, any registered voter may apply for a mail-in ballot. Radio Catskill, keeping you connected this election season.
Radio Catskill is partnering with StoryCorps for One Small Step, matching strangers with different political beliefs to just have a conversation about their lives. Hi, I'm Judy Balaban, and I'm working on One Small Step at Radio Catskill. Help bring our community together, one conversation at a time. Go to wjffradio.org and click on the One Small Step logo to join us.
StoryCorps' One Small Step and the radio station hubs are made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. The stretch of fine weather continues today, sunny with a high of 78, clear low of 52. Tomorrow, a little foggy in the morning, high 81 with sunshine, and the weekend, 80 on Saturday, 77 and sunny. A little fog again in the morning, but lovely in the afternoon.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Live streaming at WJFFradio.org. Ask your smart speaker to play Radio Catskill.